Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing old windows for smoother operation and home comfort. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, April 1st. I'm Abby Larico. Ferguson residents will vote on April 8th on who will represent the city's wards. The election has brought up questions from some residents surrounding a councilman who, some say, doesn't live in the ward he's represented.
You live amongst the residents that you represent. That's the rule. Those are the rules.
Some others question if there's a conflict of interest between his business and city council proposals. Others say he's brought businesses into the city. STLPR's Chad Davis digs into all of this, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Advocates for transgender rights took to the streets of downtown St. Louis last night. STLPR's Kate Grumke reports many were protesting against President Donald Trump's policies.
A couple hundred people marched down Market Street as the sun set. The demonstration celebrated Trans Day of Visibility. But many were also there to send a message to lawmakers. Ryan Klinghammer is director of events with the Metro Trans Umbrella Group.
You can do whatever you can try to do to us, but we're not going anywhere. Like, we've been here, we're going to be here. No matter what they throw at us, nothing's going to change that.
The event ended with drag performances on the steps of City Hall. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri woman at the center of the HBO docuseries Chimp Crazy has pleaded guilty to three federal charges for lying about the status of a chimpanzee named Tonka. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has details on the case against Tanya Haddix.
The charges are connected to an ongoing civil lawsuit over the conditions at a facility in Festus, Missouri, that bred chimpanzees for the entertainment industry. As part of that case, a judge ruled that Haddix had to surrender seven chimps to a Florida sanctuary. She turned over six, claiming that one named Tonka had died. He was later found alive in a basement. Haddix admitted to lying in sworn statements about Tonka. Federal prosecutor Hal Goldsmith says individuals go to court to seek justice.
There can only be justice from the court if those individuals are honest with the court.
Sentencing is set for July. Haddix could face a maximum of 30 years in prison. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
PETA brought the original lawsuit and says it hopes the sentence includes jail time, so Haddix faces the consequences of her actions. It's municipal, township, and school board election day in Illinois. Polls open at 6 a.m. and close tonight at 7. Early voting has been underway since March 17th. Several cities have contested mayoral races, including Alton and Belleville. Godfrey also has a contested race for village president. The incumbent mayors in Cahokia Heights and Granite City have write-in candidates running against them as well. In the last two municipal elections, between 12% and 17% of registered voters cast ballots in St. Clair and Madison counties. And people voting in today's municipal elections across Illinois won't notice a difference in the process, despite an executive order from President Trump. The order, issued last week, demands that states not count any mail-in ballots received after Election Day and requires documented proof of U.S. citizenship to register to vote. Matt Dietrich is a spokesperson for the Illinois State Board of Elections. He says the board is reviewing the order, but it wouldn't take effect until later this month.
It doesn't impose any additional obligations on them regarding citizenship or ID or anything else pertaining to how elections have been conducted in Illinois.
Potential voters in Illinois have to attest that they are a citizen or face a litany of penalties. Dietrich says voters should immediately call their county clerk or have an election judge do it if a poll worker cites the executive order to deny a ballot. The Catholic bishop in Belleville got a promotion. Michael McGovern will become the Archbishop of Omaha in May. He's led the Belleville Diocese, which covers the southern third of Illinois, since 2020. The Belleville News Democrat reports the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has not indicated when it will name a replacement for Govern. McGovern will replace retiring Omaha Archbishop George Lucas. He, a St. Louis native, was sued last year for allegedly sexually abusing two students. Lucas denies those allegations. Pope Francis made the appointment Monday. McGovern says he's grateful for the opportunity. Author Sarah Kendzior's new book chronicles her drive to show her children different parts of the United States. And as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, the St. Louis resident makes Missouri a central part of the last American road trip.
Kendzior's book focuses on her family's travels to national parks and notable Missouri landmarks, including a set of giant praying hands in Webb City, Missouri. As parts of the country transform because of political instability and climate change, Kendzior says she felt compelled to show her children America and the United States' natural beauty.
And I also wanted to make a record of the America that I knew during an incredibly turbulent time.
Kendzior's book showcases her family's experiences in Missouri cities like Hannibal, as well as her journey paddling on the Mississippi River next to St. Louis. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The book is out today. Ferguson residents will vote on April 8th on who will serve the city's three wards. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, some residents have questioned if one candidate is living in the ward he's representing.
Good evening. My name is Mike Ballmer. I'm a lifelong Ferguson resident. I've been here 40 years.
During a Ferguson candidate forum earlier this month, Palmer took to the podium to describe a big Ward 3 problem, blight. He's an owner of COF, a real estate company that owns homes, lots, and buildings across North County. He also renovates and demolishes blighted properties.
That's a house that's been burned up 7 years ago. It is unacceptable for that house to sit there like that. Believe it or not, guess what? The house next door is vacant too.
Palmer has served as a councilman in Ferguson's third ward for 3 years and knows a lot about its blight. He's a white councilman in a majority black city, but his critics say there's other ways he doesn't represent them. Some say he doesn't even live in the ward he represents. St. Louis Public Radio went to three locations in Ward 3 where recent court filings claim Palmer has lived. One neighbor says they've seen him in and out, but that someone else lives there now. Another neighbor on a Ward 3 street listed in the filing says he's never lived there. There are other papers saying he lives in Ward 1. Now Palmer is running to represent that community in its municipal election. According to Missouri Ethics Commission records from 2021, Palmer registered under a Ward 3 South Florissant Road apartment complex when first running for the council. Brandis Johnson co-owns Be Juiced, a juice bar and smoothie shop on the first floor of that same building.
I have seen him around. I do know he lives in the community, but where, I don't know. I couldn't speak to that.
She rents from Palmer and opened up in the building in 2023. The Ward 1 address associated with Palmer includes multiple vehicles registered in his name.
You live amongst the residents that you represent. That's the rule. Those are the rules.
That's Mildred Klein's, a Ward 3 resident. And she's right. The charter says council members need to be residents of their wards during their entire term of office. His first ward opponent, Henry Ewinifel, has even sued Palmer for breaking Ferguson's city charter by running for a different ward than he's living in. A St. Louis County Circuit judge ruled that he can run as long as he moves to Ward 1 if he wins. Ewinifel says he's appealing the ruling.
The issue is that, to me, I felt that he has misled the citizen in terms of where his residence really is, because I have no idea where it is.
Palmer declined multiple interview requests, but the controversy also centers on potential conflicts of interest with his real estate business. One example includes a bill co-sponsored by Palmer that would have changed occupancy permits. The legislation has since been pulled, but Mildred Klein says it would have benefited landlords and that he never should have proposed it.
If you are a landlord on the city council, you should recuse yourself. You shouldn't even be voting on that.
Some Ferguson business owners who rent from Palmer say their relationship with him has been pretty good. Juanita Thompson is owner and CEO of Yummy Nutrition and Blend Boutique.
Over at this bar, we make our shakes, meal replacement shakes and coffees over here. Then once you go over here, We got a little
She
bit
says
of
Palmer has been a good landlord, and while she understands the questions surrounding him, she says that her business and much of Ferguson wouldn't be what it was without his support.
I've seen him taking Molons, lots, and things like that. Like, he don't have to do that.
Missouri courts have been pretty hands-off in handling residency questions. It'll be up for voters to decide if where he lives even matters. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jessica Rogan edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.